Welcome to Daily Living for Christ, 86,400 seconds in a day. Imagine the possibilities of what your life would become if you dedicated an additional 60 seconds each day to walk closer with Christ. Well, that's what we're here for. We are here to partner with you on your journey to drawing closer to Christ. 86,400 seconds. Are you ready? 86,400 seconds. Are you ready to become what Christ has already declared you are? Let's jump in now. Alrighty, so welcome back to Daily Living for Christ. I'm going to jump right in here tonight because we are finally getting to Acts chapter 9, where Luke introduces the Apostle Paul on the scenario. We saw that the Apostle Paul showed up in Acts chapter 6. He was standing by when Stephen was stoned. And then after the stoning of Stephen, the persecution of the church came and the church scattered and the disciples stayed in Jerusalem. And then we just came through the fact that one of the seven that was chosen to work in the church because of a conflict, Philip, now just went through this massive using. God used him in a mighty way to minister to people in Samaria. He broke cultural barriers in Samaria, and he actually ministered to a high-ranking official from Ethiopia. And now we come right to the Apostle Paul. But before that, man, I came across an amazing song today. And I want to put this song out. And it was by St. Teresa, what we call Mother Teresa, attributed to this song. And what I want to do is I want to read this song, but I want you to listen to the lyrics, because the lyrics on this, it's a song, but it's more of a statement. The lyrics are phenomenal. And I believe no matter what you're going through, these words can impact your thoughts to bring in the visible presence of God. So let me read this. It goes, Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on the earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, yours are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. What a beautiful lyrics, or what a beautiful statement. The fact that whatever situation we're in as believers, Christ is still in us. Scripture says that our bodies are a temple of God, and he uses our hands, he uses our feet, he uses our eyes as a vehicle to bless the world. So be encouraged, and let's jump in to Acts chapter 9. Now, I call this, whenever I read Acts, I call it the road to destiny. I know the scripture calls it the Damascus road or Paul's conversion, but everything in Saul's life has led to this, this critical point or this deciding moment. Everything, all of his bringing up in the synagogue, all of his studying, all of his knowledge, everything that he has inside of him, all of his religion, all of his zeal, all of his zealousness, all of his passion, all of his indignation, right? His anger at the way the people that were supposedly coming against his God, all of it has put him on this road to Damascus. And I want you to look behind the veil here, and I want you to see the providence of God at work, because it is absolutely amazing to see how God used everything, even from the scattering of the church and Paul to be able to do what he was doing, or Saul doing what he was doing to cause the scattering of the church, to see how providence is now at work. It is absolutely amazing, and only the all-knowing creator of the universe can do this. In his sovereignty and his providential move, he's moving through one man that's going to cause the ripple effect of his promise in Acts chapter 1 and 8 to go out to all the world. Now let's jump in. Are you ready? I'm getting excited because this to me is incredible, and we're going to start to see the move in the church. We're going to start to see things really, really start to happen and expand out. Persecution came, scattering came, and it caused the church to get out of its comfort zone. COVID-19 came, and it has caused the body of Christ to get out of its comfort zone, to come out from behind their big buildings and from behind all of these different things, to realize that apart from the building, if you don't have Christ, you got nothing. If Jesus is not supreme, what do we have? I mean, think about it. The scripture tells us, if you can't love Jesus, or if you don't love Jesus, you can't love the Father. He said, because I and the Father are one. So look, let's go. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. I want to stop here because I want you to grab a hold of this. The way was the name that they had given Christianity. It wasn't called Christianity yet. It was called the way. So when you start to really understand, it really began to affect them. They started to notice that there was something different amongst these people. So they called them the way. They named it. Those that were in the way of what? The way of Christ, the way of Christ. It's absolutely amazing when you think about it. that Christianity was first called the way. It's a wonderful thing when you think about the whole focus of where it was coming and how it was being shaped. And throughout the book of Acts, you're going to notice that they're going to keep talking about the way. Why? Why is the name the way? Why did Luke pick up on this right now? Because the way is declaring to people that Jesus is the way to God the Father. There is no other way that you can get to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus declared it in the Gospels. He said, I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the light. No man gets to the Father except through me. And now they are starting to see the visible manifestation of this understanding. Their mind has been enlightened that he is the way, or he is the door to getting to the Father. Just grab that now. His whole purpose was to lock men and women up. He wanted to crush the way. He wanted to destroy it because he thought that we, or Christianity, was against God. He thought that it defied the holiness of God. And this goes to show us, listen, I want you to hear this loud and clear to me. Because at some point in our lives, we can be zealous and have the right attitude about something, but can be completely wrong. All of Paul's training and education, his passion, everything he was doing made him zealous for the things of God. But yet, his information became so rigid that it became legalistic, that he actually pushed God out of his conversations. So we can get to the point where we bring in so much information about God that it actually closes the door on God. See, God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit is all about relationship. I want you to grab this, because when you have too much of religion and you have no relationship, you become like the Pharisees. Paul's whole aim in life was to be a Pharisee. And what did the Pharisees want? They wanted the outside. They wanted people to respect them for who they were. They wanted to respect them for what they knew about God. Right? Knew about God, but not knowing God. Just grab a hold of that. So be very cautious when you start to focus so much on obtaining knowledge about God versus deepening your relationship with God. And what's the first way that you deepen your relationship? Number one, you deepen your relationship through the Word of God. But the key here is when you are reading this Word of God, you're just not reading it like a textbook. You're not reading it from an intellectual perspective. You actually start to think about what you're reading, and you allow that Word to penetrate inside of your mind and become a visceral part of who you are. Like when you read the Bible, did it just come across that the way was just there? Right? Did it catch you to the fact of understanding that this expression was identifying a truth about Jesus? Just think about it. Are there things in the Bible that you just go right by? God's saying, no, part of you, for you to understand me or to learn me and to fall in love with me, you must get the counsel or my word inside of you, because my word reveals to you, not from a legalistic perspective of don't do this, don't do that, but more from a relational perspective. So when you read this word, it's like you are communicating with God. Or let me reverse that. It's when you read this word, God is communicating with you. And it is the Holy Spirit's responsibility to take what you bring in and to move it from your brain down to your heart. To move it from your brain down to your heart. So let's keep going. So now in verse 3, and it says, so Saul gets his assignment. And now he has the authority from the synagogues to lock Christians up. So he has everything that he needs legally to put people in their place, right? He doesn't have to ask about it. He has the legal authority on earth to put people in prison. But I want you to grab this right now. The spiritual overrides the natural. The spiritual encompasses the natural, and he's going to learn this on his road to destiny. Verse 3. And it says, as he, Paul, was walking along, approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Now, I want you to grab this suddenly, right? He's going about his business, and suddenly everything's about to change. You're going about your business. Life's good, and a suddenly shows up. But most of the time, suddenlies in our lives appear to be negative. But I want to remind you about Romans 8:28. This says, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called by his name. It may appear to be a negative, but stay connected, because he can turn anything around for good. Suddenly the light from heaven flashed around him. Now I want you to imagine this. Imagine you're on your way. You're driving down the road or walking down the street. And you're on your way to a destination, and all of a sudden, a light flashes in front of you, or it encompasses you. Just think about what Paul was experiencing at this moment. It actually had to, really, all natural logic had to just completely be gone. Because the light had encompassed him. Now, verse 4 says, he fell to the ground. Now, this is important to grab this. Because as he was standing or on the horse, whatever it was, going to Damascus, the light brought him low. Brought him down to his proper place, to the fact of the understanding that you're not as high as you think you are. There is always someone higher than you. And you are going to meet, you are actually encompassing the fullness of the height that the earth actually has. You think that you are at the highest pinnacle in the sect of being a Pharisee in the land, where you have the authority to lock people up and to bring them back to Jerusalem. But I'm here to tell you, this is what the light is saying to him. Your authority means nothing in the spiritual realm. the spiritual realm overrides your authority, Paul. And I want you to know this. And this is all wrapped in the light. So the light, the suddenly and the light was there to get his attention. And here's what, when you think about it, here's what's next. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, notice Jesus didn't give him even time to respond. I got your attention now. You're going on your destination to do your plan. And now you are disrupting, or you are punishing me. These are the next words. See, this is where we have to keep reminding ourselves, anytime someone does something to us as a child of God, if they persecute us, they are actually persecuting God. Anytime they do something to disrupt in the body of Christ, they are actually attempting to disrupt God. See, the natural realm, people don't see it that way. But God is reminding us in his very book of Acts, when you come against my people, you are coming against me. And I won't sit by idly and allow you just to come against my people. Let me read it again. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? I want you to never forget this, that Jesus identifies with his people. He said, why are you persecuting me? Saul was persecuting people in the way. So if you're in the church, the Bible already told us that we are the body of Christ. So whenever you're in this place and something's coming against you, just be reminded that you're in the body and Jesus has got us. I want you to grab that. He's got us. God has a plan. Don't ever let it go. God has a plan. Why are you persecuting me? So he, Paul, responds and says, who are you, Lord? Now, these are the words that are going to reign out forever. He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. I am. You'll get it. I am Jesus. I am the same I am that showed up in Exodus, I am that I am, the same Jesus that says before Abraham was, I am. Now he is getting this understanding of I am. Paul knows that I am represents Jehovah God. All of his training made him understand when Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He now attached his training to the physicalness of Jesus. Let's keep going. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Verse 6, and it says, but stand up. Ooh, now watch this. He gives him a command. He says, but stand up. I I want you to get this. He's giving him a commandment. Stand up and arise and enter the city, and you will be told what you must do. So notice, I want you to grab a hold of this, that God did not knock him off of his plan to go to Damascus. See, this is where people fail to understand that when you are on your road to destiny, his destiny was to go to Damascus. His purpose, or his understanding of his purpose, was wrong. So God intervenes through providence and reveals to him that your destiny to Damascus is correct, but now I need to fill you with the right purpose for why you're going to Damascus and for why you wanted to learn about me and become zealous for God. So all of your training, I am going to reveal to you the why behind the why. All of this is being said in this very situation that's going on to Paul. Think about what's going on inside of his mind. The very person that he heard about, he is now hearing firsthand. I want you to think about that. Firsthand, he is hearing from Jesus, and Jesus actually accuses him of persecuting him. Do you really not think that Paul's like saying, wait a minute, when did I persecute you? Think about that now. All of this in split seconds or moments is running through Paul's head. But he tells him to stand up and continue on your road to where you're going. Now, this is why this is important to grab in. Verse 7 is more of a descriptive. It says, now the men who were traveling with him stood there speechless. So here's the point. For all of these critics that try to, like, this didn't really happen, these men were there. They acknowledged and they saw what transpired. But here's the thing. They were speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. The technical term for this is Jesus actually showed, we call them Christologies. He physically showed back up in his glorified body before him on that road. He revealed himself for the sake of the church. He revealed himself because he saw in this man exactly what he needed to expand the gospel. In the same way that when he shows up in a suddenly in our lives, he's getting our attention to tell us, you have exactly what I need to fulfill the kingdom agenda of revealing Christ to the world and bringing glory and honor to the Father. Those are our first two assignments, people. I want to make sure we get this. Is to bring glory and honor to God the Father and to reveal Christ to the world. And along the way, he blows our mind with his fatherly love. He empowers us with the fruit of the Spirit. He empowers us with dunamis and the authority. He loves us through our shortcomings. He sanctifies us in our mind. He transforms our way of thinking. That all that we desire to do, the whole purpose of this walk is as we are on our transformation journey, Paul, we get to see the visible manifestation of God. And let me explain this first. We will see it in our lives. And if you're not seeing the visible manifestation in your life or that transformation that God is doing or has done in your lives, ask God to open the eyes of your understanding. You see, your understanding has eyes to see. And if you're not able to see that, ask God to open your eyes that you may be able to see the transformation that he's done in you and or doing in you. We're getting to see the beginning of the transformation process. God allows us, and he had Luke write this down for us so that we can see Paul's transformational process. So Paul becomes kind of that one person that we can go into the scripture to identify what does transformation look like. But I want you to see here now, in this process, it says in verse 8, so Saul got up from the ground. But although his eyes were open, he couldn't see nothing. It's important that I spend time on this one. Because 1 Corinthians, Paul then, after this understanding, Paul then teaches us. He says, yet we have eyes to see, but yet we don't see. Ears to hear, but yet we don't hear. So God is taking Paul first and foremost. His seeing has to change. He is about to get his eyes of his understanding opened, but he is going through the process or the appointed process that God wants him to go through in order for him to get his spiritual sight so that the eyes of his heart can now start to see. Grab this now, can now start to see the people of God as God's people. Not from a religious perspective, but from a love perspective that these are God's own people. So God is actually doing a transformation or a sanctification of his eyes, and he causes him not to be able to see. Here is a man that has all the authority from the Jewish synagogues, and now he cannot walk without the assistance of another. Oh, don't tell me how awesome God is. Where you think you got all this power, but in one suddenly, you are reduced to nothing. Saul got up from the ground, but although his eyes were open, he could see nothing. Leading him by his hand, his companions brought him into Damascus. And I want you to grab this. It brought him to his place. Lord, thank you for just getting us to our Damascus. Whatever it takes to get us to that place of 100% transformation or that 100% enlightenment or the illumination, this is what Damascus represents to Paul, and this is what Luke wants us to understand. Damascus, we all have to go to our Damascus. And some of us have been to Damascus. We've come out of it and we've recognized that critical moment in our walk where God reveals himself to us and nothing else is the same after that. Do you remember your Damascus experience? He takes him to Damascus. He stays on the road to purpose. But here's what verse 9 says. It says, for 3 days, he could not see, and he neither ate nor drank anything. I just want you to grab this, man, because this is so beautiful. Why 3 days? Have you ever wondered to ask God, why 3 days? Why to be in darkness with no liquid and no food for 3 days? Could it be that God wanted him, or Jesus wanted him, to experience what he felt 3 days going to redeem us? He's now going to get a visceral experience of what Christ felt when he was separated from the Father. I want you to grab a hold of this. This is so beautiful. There is so much in this text. And 3 days also, having nothing in, heightens his spiritual awareness. It completely heightens everything about what he's doing. I want you to understand. I'm going to summarize this because I'm not going to go any further, because I want to pick up on verse 10 by itself. Everything up until your Damascus experience was what Providence got you to understand. Providence brought you through whatever it was you needed to get to Damascus so that you could meet Jesus and make the choice. And after this experience, like Paul, your life has never been the same. It may not have been perfect, but it's never been the same. And we're going to see in these next, as we continue to keep going down here, if you truly have Christ, you have hope. If you truly have Christ and the love of God living on the inside of you, and he is supreme over all things, you will truly understand, no matter what happens in the physical, he's still greater than that. And it takes time for us to get there, people. Come on. I know there are times where we waver in the love that he has for us. We waver in our decisions. But like this song said today, Jesus has no body in the earth but ours. He's working in us and through us at all times. So I want you to embrace whatever that stirring is that's going on the inside of you. He brought us to the book of Acts for this, whatever, how long we're going to be here. He brought us here to remind us that Acts is the beginning of what God wanted to do. And may this be the beginning of that thing, or that new thing, or whatever God is destined for you, may that beginning start now. Be encouraged, knowing that the eyes of your understanding are continuing to be enlightened, that you may know Jesus, and that you may know God the Father, and that you may know the works of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of his spirits in your life. May you continue to walk in love, in peace, in joy, in faithfulness, in kindness, in long-suffering, May the fruits abound in your life. From this moment forward, may you see a maximum increase of 100-fold of the fruits of the Spirit in your life. Be blessed. Until next time, thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of Daily Living for Christ, where we have one purpose, and that's to partner with you on your daily walk with Christ. Before you go, I have two questions I want to throw out to you. First, what insights did you gain from this episode? And number two, how will you apply those new insights in your daily walk with Christ? Remember, awareness leads to choice, and choice leads to a decision. There's 86,400 moments in a day. 86,400 moments in a day. Let today be the day that you increase by one more moment with Christ. Until next time, I'm out.